We've been waiting for this all week. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
good to be in God's house, isn't it? Father in heaven, we love you. We praise you. We lay our lives down before you as a sacrifice of praise. We pray that our songs, our prayers will be a sweet incense unto you today. And Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will inhabit this place. That you'll cover everything that's about us today and just cover it with love and your grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Okay. Y'all can be seated. It is time for the kids to come meet Miss Carlene down here for the children's sermon.
Dad, you can sit right there if you want to. All right. Good to see everybody today. Everybody just sit right there. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, good. Are y'all excited today? Are you excited today? All right. So, what are you excited about?
I honestly don't know what we're doing.
Are you excited about anything? You're excited to go to church. Well, I'm excited to be here today. Are y'all excited about school starting?
Yeah.
Parents, are y'all excited about school starting? Yay! All right. So today, what we always do before school starts, we always pray for everyone as they go back to school. Okay? So we're going to be doing that. So I brought my backpack with me. No, you go to school next week. You'll go to school Wednesday, and then Abilene starts on next Tuesday, Monday, and but St. John's has already started, and Abilene Christian has already started, so our Mother's Day Out starts in September, so schools are going to be starting all over, so we want to pray for everyone as they get ready to go back to school. So going back to school is fun and exciting, right? And you need lots of stuff. We always take pencils and crayons and markers and paper and a backpack with you maybe. I don't know, can y'all carry backpacks this year? Not really sure, but it's okay. But if you don't, that's okay. But you're always going to have things with you to learn, right? But there's one thing that we always need with us to help us learn. Do you know what it is? What? Jesus. That's right. Does Jesus need to be with us to learn? All right. So do we always remember that Jesus is with us? All the time when you're in school? Do you always think about Jesus? No? Okay. All right. So today we are going to give you, we need to remember, so today we're going to give you a cross. It's like this. It's a little dog tag, and it says, living for him. And the scripture verse on there, it's from Psalms 37:5. It says, commit your way to the Lord. So this is a good reminder that we need to commit everything that we're doing, we need to commit it to God. Can y'all remember to do that? Whether you're at school or even at home, church, the playground, the grocery store, wherever you are, commit everything that you do to God. Okay? So everybody's going to get one of these little tags, and you're going to put it on your backpack. You can put it on your keychain. You can kind of do with it what you want to. But let it be a reminder to remember to commit everything to God. And you can talk to him anytime. Okay? Can y'all do that? Okay, so we're going to do things a little bit different today. So, okay, y'all, parents are going to have to help us with this, okay? So I need all the kids to stand up, and what I want y'all to do is I want y'all to line up against the wall, line up against the prayer rail, kind of go back, kind of line up. Yep, just line up, kind of head down that direction. Okay. All right. Very good. All right, good. Okay, come on, Pastor Jeff, come on up here. Come here, Ollie, right here. Okay. All right. So now, parents, if you want to come pray with your kids, this is a time to come up here with your kids, and you can kind of get your kids right there with you. Okay. And at this time, I'm also asking for anybody else that's in school, students, teachers, support staff, anybody that's doing anything, whatever. We want you to come, and we want you to just kind of circle and line up around, and we're just going to pray for you. Okay. And as spread way out, get as spread out as far as you can, okay? So come on up. Go ahead.
Am I on?
Okay,
yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, kids, if y'all will spread way out, if you can't touch each other, if your arms are out, spread. Parents, find your student. And teachers, come up. College students. College students, your students. Come up. If you, college students, if you don't come up, I will embarrass you. Spread way out, kids. Spread way out. Way, 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 way out. Yes, I think so. Here, this has been on my heart. Parents, teachers, maybe some of the students. Is anybody anxious about school starting? Perhaps there's a little anxiety in some of us. Well, God speaks to that. Did you know that? Let's see what he has to say. He says, don't be anxious. Hello. Don't do it. So there's a response. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's the payoff. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you're anxious, Everybody, hold your hand out like this. All of you, whether you're anxious or you think you're not, whatever. Now, open it. You just let go of that anxiety. You let go, and you're going to trust in the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I am blessed to just see all of these students, these children. God, nothing that's going on in our world has surprised you. You are still God. You are a mighty God. And you love each and every person that's going to school and parents that are sending their kids to school, every teacher, every worker. Father, we pray blessing and protection as we all head back to school. Father, that your peace that does transcend understanding and circumstances will guard our hearts and our minds, that we will trust you because you are trustworthy. So I pray a hedge of protection, not just around these students, but every student as they start back in our city, in our state, in our nation, that you would protect and that your will would be done, that you would bless these parents, these workers, and these students. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, Children's Church, we're going that direction. Okay, going that direction. I'll be going that direction. All right, we're heading that direction. All right, yeah, don't lose it. We're going to head in that direction. Come on. You got him? Okay, Riley, head on in. Hey, Saxon. I know. Okay, all right. Did you get back to the ship?
Isn't it great to see all these children back?
I know you are, but we're just going to go back to your room today, and then we're going to move up, okay? All right. Everybody get it? Okay.
Okay, I invite you to stand if you're able. We are going to recite the Apostles' Creed. This creed has been shared by Christians for around 2,000 years. It is the foundational pieces of our faith, what unites us together, what's non-negotiable for us as Christians. You know, we can disagree about what kind of songs we like and how we conduct worship and all those kinds of things, that we can have different flavors of that. But these are foundational statements of our faith that are non-negotiable for us as Christians. Let's recite this together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder, that word Catholic means universal. So as we enter into a time of prayer this morning, I do know it's kind of scary with all that's going on in our world, and you're sending your kids off back to school, and we've already kind of prayed over that anxiety. So we're going to spend just a few moments in prayer and praying to the one that we trust with all that's going on. Also at the end, we've kind of resorted our worship a little bit this morning. I'll also pray for our offering when we do our worship set here in just a few moments. That will be an invitation for you to come forward with your offering. If you're online, our live stream, we're glad that you are with us and joining us. There is also online ways to give with through our app and our website, wileymethodist.org. So we'll be doing offering as we start worship in just a moment. If you'll pray with me. Spend just a moment, just in your heart, telling God how you feel about him. Father, you are the King of Kings, and there is nothing too difficult for you. You are the beginning and the end. You are the triune God. You are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we don't fully understand and comprehend all of that, but Father, that's because you're God. And we also know, Father, you have proven once and for all, by what you did for us on the cross, you have proven your love for us. You have restored us to life. We can never repay that debt. But what you have called us to do is not to try to be worthy to that, but to be faithful to that, to serve. Your word says that Jesus, you came not to be served, but to serve. And you have called us as your people to serve. Father, sometimes we confess that we fix our eyes upon ourselves. May we repent of that, and may we put our eyes on you and on our neighbor. Teach us how to love like you. Teach us how to speak like you, to think like you. You are such a good God. And Father, I am thankful for the faithfulness of this body of believers that you have assembled here, and we call ourselves Wiley Methodist Church, but Father, we are really at a much deeper level. We are just children of God. You have adopted us as your very own. And I am thankful for this group of of believers, this group of friends. I pray blessings on the gifts that, they give as they respond to, your goodness. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit in this place, in our worship. May our hearts please you, and may the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. Be with those who are struggling, God. I know even right here in our church, we've had some that have had the virus. We've had many who have not been able to see loved ones that are perhaps in long-term care facilities. Father, just draw near to your people. We trust you. We pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you, as we begin our worship, if you'd like to come forward with your offering. Thank you.
that anxious feeling. You know, he said during the children's sermon, release that. And I felt kind of anxious. And the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He goes, well, what is it? Name it. What is making you feel anxious? And so I did. I just named it. And I let it go. And through my spirit, I was just thinking, this morning, there's no room for guilt. There's no room for shame. There's no room for anxiousness. We lay all those things down. We lay all those things down.
Thank you. Well, good morning, church, family. Artist, is this okay? Sounding good? Ringing a little bit up here. Okay, you can get that out. Well, good morning and welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. If you're worshiping with us in the building or online, we're glad that you're here. If you want to leave us some information, if you're a first-time visitor or maybe perhaps a second-time visitor, you can do that through our app. There's a spot on there for a guest to connect with us. And our pastor will be in the atrium area, this end of the atrium, after the service. Would love to meet with you. Something else about our app. I didn't know if everybody knew this, but our sermon notes are there. They're recorded there. And I actually put sermon notes up on the app. Yeah, that's what I said. Wow, why did I do that? I got a text from Mike Matthews. Mike, I love you. I guess you're at home this morning. Says, breaking news. Billy Crimm posts sermon notes on 8/16/2020. And my response was, ha ha, don't get too accustomed to that. So when we go back to paper sermon notes, they'll be blank in the future. I just wanted to tell you that. Wanted to remind everybody about our fellowship this afternoon. Would love to see all of you come. Maybe we'll have some cloud cover. There's also some covers out there that we can get underneath to get out of the sun. You might want to bring a lawn chair. The seating is kind of limited, but I think we're going to have a good time this afternoon. Would love to see you there. This morning, I have the privilege to preach on holiness. And it's not really a subject I chose to preach on, to be honest, because I feel incredibly inadequate preaching on holiness. My goodness, who can understand the holiness of God? He's not like us. He's on a different level. We can't take what we know, what we've experienced, and compare God to that because he's just so much different than we are. A.W. Tozer is someone that I've read a lot of in the past. He wrote two books in particular that I'd like to recommend to you guys if you want to read something that's challenging and deep. One of the books is The Pursuit of God, which is one of the first books he wrote in the early 40s, 1940s. And then one of the last ones he wrote was The Knowledge of the Holy, which was in the early 60s. And I pulled a quote out of one of the chapters on holiness that he recorded. Here's what Tozer says. He says, we cannot grasp the true meaning of the divine holiness by thinking of someone or something very pure and then raising the concept to the highest degree we're capable of. I mean, you just think of the most righteous person that ever lived in our generation. Billy Graham may be you know, one of those people. And we can't really compare God to Billy Graham. We can't elevate, you know, Billy Graham times 100 and come up with who God is, how holy he is. He says God's holiness is not simply the best we know infinitely bettered. We know nothing like the divine holiness. It stands apart. It's unique. It's unapproachable. It's incomprehensible and unattainable. The natural man is blind to it. He may fear God's power and admire his wisdom, but his holiness no one can even imagine. We can't understand the holiness of God. Like we can't fully understand his power, him being omnipresent, him being all-knowing. We can't understand that. And you know, none of this would really matter. There's things we're not going to know on this side of eternity. We're just not going to know those things. And about his holiness, these things would not matter except for a couple of verses. 1 Peter 1:13-16 is on the screen. I hope I've got the correct NIV version. Looks like it may be close. Follow with me. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. So our charge is to be holy, not like God is holy, but be holy for he is holy. And sometimes we can read that as a warning. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Do it. I mean, we could view that verse as that. For me, it's more of an invitation. Maybe God is saying this with a smile on his face. Oh, be holy, my child, because I am holy. We're told to be holy. I've been wrestling with that verse for a number of years, and there's another verse that, boy, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's been wearing me out. Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Listen to this, church. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, I don't think this means that, you know, we're going to tangibly lay our eyes on him. I mean, my goodness, if he showed up in this room in his fullness, I don't know how many people are in here, 250 people, they would be doing 250 funerals because none of us can look on his form and live. So I don't think the writer of Hebrews is speaking about us visually seeing the Lord. And I don't think it's talking about the future. You know, scripture says, without holiness, no one will see him. Well, when Jesus comes back, every eye will see him. What's the writer talking about? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Maybe he's talking about encountering the Lord. You know, I can't see him, but I need to see him. Does that make sense? So I want to dive into these scriptures this morning. I want to be very encouraging as well as I do this. I don't want anybody leaving here this morning feeling bad about themselves. You know, Jeff's been incredibly intentional and spot on over the last several months, preaching on topics that have been very encouraging for us as we walk through this season. If you'll stay with me, if you'll hang with me to the end, I think we'll all be encouraged. Can we do that? Repeat after me. I love Billy Graham. Good. I love you too. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Let's pray. Father, we declare this morning that you're holy. And Lord, this is a subject that's difficult for us to comprehend. And God, we need you this morning. We need you to speak to our hearts. We need you to help us unpackage these thoughts. And Holy Spirit, you are more than welcome to move in power. You're more than welcome to impart wisdom and knowledge this morning to us as we try to unpackage what it means to be holy because, God, you're holy. And to unpackage this thought, without holiness, God, no one will see you. So help us this morning. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 3 points this morning. I'm a 3-point guy, not on the basketball court, but as I... unpackaged sermons. It just seems to work for me. Point number one is that God is holy. God is holy. And I read a number of opinions on about the holiness of God. And some person I read actually went and counted the number of times his holiness was addressed in Scripture, and he came up with 611. Well, I'm not going to read 611 Scriptures. There's three of them I want to share with you this morning. And they're short. Psalm 22:3, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Isaiah 43:15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, God speaking through Isaiah, the Creator of Israel, your King. In Revelation 15:4, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. And you know, we could probably read all 1611 Scriptures and may not really grasp the depth of those Scriptures. I'm not saying that God's Word's not alive. I think God can speak to us through His Word. I know that He does. He speaks to me that way. But for me, the times that I seem to learn about subjects like this are the times when people encounter Almighty God and see Him for who He really is, and see Him being displayed as holy and mighty and righteous, and then see their response to having encounters with God. So I want to look at the encounter that Isaiah had with the Lord. Again, Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm just going to walk us through this scripture. And Isaiah was a prophet to the nation of Judah, 750 B.C. And in the year that King Uzziah, Uzziah was one of the kings of the nation of Judah, he says, I saw the Lord. He was high and exalted. He was seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah, I don't know if he's caught up in a vision. I don't know if he's actually been transported into the presence of God. There's some writers that think that Isaiah maybe was in the temple and had this vision of the Lord, or God came down and showed up in the temple, which would have been odd because only the priests were allowed inside that structure. But he saw God. He saw the Lord, and God was high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled this temple. Now, I don't know if that was a 2,700. God bless that little one. From the mouths of infants and babes, God has ordained praise. We're going to just, you guys keep doing what you're doing. This is awesome. Where was I? Now the robe, okay. So God's inside some structure. I don't know if it's 2,700 square feet, 5,000 square feet. I don't know. But Isaiah sees the Lord high and exalted, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe, he has a robe on, there's this train that fills the temple. Now, I've been to a number of weddings, and I'm going to be honest with you, man, I'm a softy at weddings. I weep at every wedding. Men, forgive me. Just forgive me. I don't know what that is. There's just something beautiful about it. Maybe it's because something supernatural takes place. And it doesn't matter if people are believers in Christ or non-believers in Christ. Scripture says the two become one when they say, I do. And man, there's something supernatural about it. And I'm stirred. Every time the bride comes down, it's just, man, tears just well up in my eyes. I'm a softy. I've never been to a wedding where somebody has had a train that's flowed from their wedding gown or the wedding dress. I've seen pictures of royal weddings where the train is maybe 10, 12, 15 feet long. It's just, man, it just looks beautiful and glorious. Well, God's train off of his robe fills the temple. I'm trying to imagine what that looks like. And so maybe God's on the throne and he has a robe and a train just flows off of that. And maybe it just loops back and forth across that structure from one end to the other. And then it doubles up on top of itself. It loops back the other way and then it comes back the other direction. And the train of his robe fills the temple, filled that temple. And Isaiah said, above him were seraphim, these weird angelic creatures that had six wings and they were flying around. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So one seraphim made that declaration. This one answers it back. And this one does. I don't know if there was 10 or 12 or 15 or 2,000 of these beings there, but they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, there's something significant in Scripture when something is repeated twice, when it's said three different times. And this is one of the only instances where that takes place in Scripture. There are times where God called people, and there are times where Jesus called people, and he repeated their name once. He said, Abraham, Abraham, God did. God said, Jacob, Jacob. He called Moses. He called Samuel. Then Jesus called Martha, Simon, before he was renamed Peter, and he called Saul before he was renamed Paul. But this three-peat seems to only be reserved for the Lord. And so one seraphim says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then this one repeats that back. And it's almost like, for me, it's like they say it three times. Holy, holy, holy. And then they stop and they identify the one that they're talking about. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And then this one repeats that. Maybe so there's no confusion at all about who they're talking about. And they could just say, holy, 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 over and over again. And it would make sense in that setting. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, it speaks about a worship service that's going on in heaven right now. It's a noisy place, church. It really is. And there's four living creatures that are around the throne, and Scripture says they never cease saying day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, constantly. Since the instant they were created, that's what they do. It's almost like they say, holy, 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 and then they stop and identify the one that's holy, holy, holy. And they're doing that for eternity. God is holy. So Isaiah sees that. He hears that. And then he says, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah's response to seeing this holy God says, woe to me, I am undone. I am ruined. I am destroyed. He says that I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. And you know, it's not recorded in Scripture, but it looks like God didn't say anything to Isaiah about his condition, his sin condition. He didn't say, Isaiah, you're a man of unclean lips, and you live among a people of unclean lips. You need to repent. Isaiah, just because he was in the presence of a holy God, he just laid it out. He was exposed for who he was. Church, God is holy. He's holy, holy, holy. And we're called to be that? Is anybody holy this morning? I mean, does anybody live up to that standard? He's holy, church. And the second point is we're called to be holy. This word holy in the original language means to be set apart, means to be sacred, morally blameless, consecrated. Sanctified is another word we can plug in there. And I just want to look at the difference between us being righteous and us being holy. You know, righteousness is something we attain when we accept Christ. We're clothed in his righteousness. I believe from that instant we're righteous. I gave my heart to Jesus in 1981, 39 years ago, and I'm no more or no less righteous, I believe, than I was back then. Now, I don't think we need to just cruise for the rest of our walk with the Lord. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Scripture says for us to pursue that. So righteousness is what we are. We just need to live up to that reality. And you may disagree with me, and this is fine, and we may both be wrong, but I believe that we're righteous in Christ, and for the rest of our life, we strive for holiness. And I believe along that journey, I believe we just kind of get there, and we see the Lord, and we connect with him. You know, my Christian walk has been, if you grafted, it would be peaks and valleys. Anybody else walk been that way? But over a 39-year period, that graph should trend upward. And if it's not trending upward, we're probably in trouble. Probably in trouble. And we are becoming, I believe, holy. We're called to be holy. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 1:3-4. says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He saved us and he's called us to live a holy life. Something Oswald Chambers says about holiness. He said, God has only one intended destiny for mankind, and that's holiness. His only goal is to produce saints. God is not some eternal blessing machine for people to use, and he did not come to save us out of pity. He came to save us because he created us to be holy. So God's holy, and we're called to be holy, and without holiness, no one will see him. And I think what we need in this time, we need to see him. We need to see him. We need to encounter him. There's some parents that are sending kids to school this week that need to see him. There's children, students that need to see him. Staff support that need to see him. Need to know that he's good. And to encounter him, I believe, is to see him. Brother Larry Young preached awesome words 6-8 weeks ago. And brought some scripture out of Psalm 27, I believe, where David said he would have despaired. He's shaking his head, yes, I'm in the right direction. I would have despaired if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And to see God's goodness is to see him. And that's what we need, church. I believe that's what we need. And there's good news here. He's holy. He's called us to be holy. And point number three, he will help us get there. It's his desire that you and I walk in holiness. It's his desire that we encounter him. First of all, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. John the Baptist says in John 3:34 that God gives the Spirit to us without measure. We need the Holy Spirit to help us get there. And you know, when God put the Holy Spirit inside of us, he didn't give us some watered down version of who he is. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is holy, holy, holy. We're going to baptize Riley Moore in a little bit. And Riley is, how old is Riley, 12? 11. Okay, Riley's 11. She gave her heart to Jesus. We're going to baptize her. Or Jeff's going to baptize her. And when she gave her heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of her. God didn't give her a junior version of the Holy Spirit. Fullness. Church, holiness lives inside of us. Holiness lives inside of us. It dwells inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God uses discipline for that purpose. Now, none of us like that word, do we? Discipline. Because it has a negative connotation. I've done something wrong. Therefore, I'm going to be disciplined for it. You know, my little mama, she walks in the room and the hair stands up on the back of my neck. She wore me and my two brothers out. I like to say she beat me and my two brothers into the ministry. All three of us are serving the Lord in some ministerial capacity. And you know, that's just what we did back in that day. You know, if mom didn't spank us, the principal would or the coach would. I mean, you know, if we're at the store, we acted up. If our parents didn't spank us, another set of parents would spank us, you know. I'm not advocating spanking as a form of discipline. I think it's effective. It worked for me and my two brothers. You know, an observation, my generation is not the generation out there tearing stuff up and hating the police. But at the same time, I know some parents that really abused their kids during that generation. Young man that his dad was, gosh, it's just a terrible man. And anything he could find, he'd pick up and hit him with. Barbed wire, it didn't matter. You know, our generation, either spanking worked for us or we're just too old and lazy to get out and do, and too tired to do something, which that may be the call. But discipline is needed. I want to read Hebrews 12, 5 through 10 about discipline. This is encouraging, church. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Listen, endure hardship as discipline. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, but not true sons of and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Listen, church, in order that we may share in his holiness. Consider hardship as holiness. And God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. Now, I'm not a prophet, or as Amos said, the son of a prophet. And I'm not making fun of prophetic voices in our generation. We need that. You know, I've been praying, a lot of us have been praying for this virus to be lifted. Eradicated is a word that a lot of us have used. And you know what? I know God hears our prayers. I know he does. And I also know with just a glance from the throne, just a thought about eliminating this virus, it would be gone, instantly gone. Not only that, but everybody who's sick from it, God would instantly heal them from that. Take away all the effects of that. I mean, God could do that. Do y'all agree with that? Is there anything too impossible for him? Nothing's impossible for him. So again, I'm not a prophet. But let's entertain a thought here for just a minute. Could God possibly allow this virus, this hardship, to go on because he wants us walking in holiness? Could he be doing that? Can we embrace, if that's true, can we embrace that? In church, that tells me several things. First of all, it tells me that God knows what's going on. And it also tells me he has our best interest in mind. And it tells me also that he is for us and he's not against us. Because without holiness, no one will see him. He wants us to see him. He wants us to encounter him. And if it takes a virus to do it, so be it. So be it. God's holy church, he's called us to be holy. And he'll help us get there. We just need to submit to that. Praise team, go ahead and come up. You know, I don't know how you need to respond this morning. Like I said, I don't want anybody walking out of this building discouraged about their walk with the Lord. Because God is purifying for himself a bride without spot or blemish. We're all going through that process. He's incredibly good and incredibly faithful. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your love for us. God, I just thank you that you have our best interest in mind. And Lord, again, I'm gonna pray, Father, that you take this virus away, God, but not my will, but yours be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you for trials. I thank you for hardships. I thank you, God, that you love us so much that you would allow us to endure some things just so you could prove that love to us. Oh, Father, you're holy, holy, holy. Lord, the whole earth is full of your glory. God, just stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, just move in this room. Stir our hearts. Help us to respond the way that you would want us to respond. I thank you for your goodness. Love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship. And remind you that we're going to baptize Riley Moore right after the service, so please stick around for that. I'll be available for prayer if you want to pray with me.
Be seated. Jeff and Rhonda and any of your crew that you want to come up here, come on up. Riley, come on out, girl. If you'll stand right over there, watch your step. Step on that tall part. There we go. This is Riley Moore, and she went to Mid-High Camp this summer, and she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Amen. Y'all come on up. Come on up, family. There's a camera everybody can see. Y'all just come right on. It's okay. Come right on up here in the front. If only you had a couple of people that loved you, Riley, that was come here for your special day. Well, so that's exciting that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we come today to baptize you in that faith. But before we do that, I was thinking, great-grandfather Wendell Tucker was a pastor.
Weldon.
Weldon Tucker was a pastor. Was that in the 70s? In the 70s for Wiley Methodist Church. Yeah, and this is great-granddaughter being baptized in that same church that he pastored. That is awesome. That is awesome. So as you come, you've already accepted Christ, but we come today to make it official. We come today as a profession of your faith to others. And so we talked about this whole idea of sin, this word sin. And do you admit and confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
Amen. Do you repent of your sin?
Yes.
And you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. Let's do it. Yes. If you'll step down and sit on that ledge and hold your nose, Riley, or you don't get a brain full of water. Riley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Woo! Stay right there where it's warm. Just stay right there. Y'all gather in here. We're gonna pray for her. One of the things, Riley, we talked about, and Billy talked about it today in his sermon, that that when we accept Christ, we invite Him to live inside of us, and He says that He will send His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And so we're gonna pray that as we pray over you, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for Riley Moore. Thank you that she has said yes to you and you have said yes to her. I pray now that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit. That you would, Father, from this day forward, that she would be a new creation as your word promises. I pray, God, that she would grow up into a mighty warrior for Christ. Bless this family, this extended family, God, and all of her friends. And, Father, bless them as they just sow into her life. Holy Spirit, come alive inside of her. In Jesus' name, amen. Billy, you want to give the benediction, Billy?
I want to remind you that our pastor will be on the east end of the atrium. If you want to visit with him after the service, you guys have a blessed day. Hope to see you at Camp Butman. 2:00.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior.
I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.